So the last time since we've seen each other, where we sat for a legislative update about a month ago at the community center. So what's it been like for you working from home now?
We've been working remotely since March 11th. I did have to go into the State House for a hearing that day, and it was just on the heels of the governor declaring the state of emergency. And my aide and I decided that with technology, there was just no reason for us to be physically in that building. And so we decided that we're going to be part of the solution, one less person on public transit, one less person in the building. And we set ourselves up to work remotely. And honestly, it's been very successful. You just call our office number, 617-722-2320, and listen to the phone tree, because I do sit in the revenue committee. And it will come directly to myself and my aide, Colette. Email comes directly to us. We are set up at home to work remotely, print, copy, scan, email. And now with the advent or the expansion of things like WebEx and Zoom, we actually have been having a lot of these calls interpersonally and to actually get a chance to see each other. So it continues to be very busy, and we continue to work closely both with each other, with our colleagues, with our towns and our town administrators. And so it's been going pretty smoothly. There's been a huge uptick in our constituent services, as everyone would expect. With the closure of non-essential businesses, a lot more people are out of work. So we have been supporting a lot of folks in applying for unemployment insurance. And I bring that up right now at the beginning of our conversation because the volume of people that are applying and availing themselves of these resources. And don't hesitate if you qualify, you should apply and get the resources. But it's over very quickly overwhelmed the system. So if anybody hits any barriers, any snags whatsoever, please email us or call us. The number again is 617-722-2320, or you can email myself, joan.moschino@mahouse.gov.
Thank you. Let's talk about the flexibility for our local municipalities. Obviously, here we are in the middle of April, just about. We have many town meetings that were previously scheduled to take place in early May, right into June, and obviously those dates are now impacted. What are you hearing from our municipalities, and what kind of assistance might they expect from the legislature, from the governor, with respect to holding town meetings in some context?
It's a great question. So everyone should know that both state and municipal government is still functioning and still working for people. And very quickly, the municipalities in our towns reached out to me right from the get-go. As soon as the governor had put in place, starting to restrict how many people could gather, that implicates every local meeting we have and town meeting itself. So very quickly, we were able to put through some legislation to do a couple of things. Allow communities to hold virtual meetings like the way we're talking now during the state of emergency. It's not the preferred way to do business, but for public health priorities, this is what we do during this time frame. The other big thing that we just passed last week, and I believe the governor has already signed, is to give the municipalities the flexibility to move back our town meeting. And our towns have already started scheduling. I have four towns, so I don't remember what each of the dates are, but it's posted on your websites. And to push back how we're doing our budget development process, our budget approval process, really. But then also, the other thing we did was to toll constructive deadlines. And if you think about it, So local government has so many sort of quasi-judicial functions, adjudicatory functions. Think about the planning board or the ZBA or even conservation commissions. Or if you have a building permit and you can't get in, you don't want it to expire, or you need it to be approved. So there are a lot of things, just the day-to-day governance of municipal life that needed to be addressed. So we were able to get that passed through so that government can continue to function smoothly, lawfully, and but yet timely. A lot of people we heard from about being able to sell alcohol with takeout, trying to support our small businesses, our local merchants, and we have a lot of restaurants and food service that continue to be essential and thus can continue to operate if they choose to. So we did authorize them to do to do alcohol with a takeout order. So it was something people called for. And so I think we were happy to be able to do that. And there's been a series of other things as well. But that was probably the most important one, was to make sure that municipal government could function, but not compromise public health.
You know, we've seen a number of organizations and individuals who've stepped up to do their part to help lessen the impact and the pain. Great things like Robert Kraft flying in the Patriots plane loaded up with N95 masks, for example. But then you've got local level initiatives. Organizations like the Chamber of Commerce and the local Rotary Clubs who are organizing food drives to make sure that families and others get the basic necessities. Mm-hmm. And I'm curious to know, what are you hearing, particularly from our constituents who may be self-employed and may not know how to navigate the kind of financial assistance that could be provided at the state level?
So it's a huge problem for our local merchants. Almost immediately, people started reaching out to myself, to Senator O'Connor, and to talk about, you know, what the gaps were in our supports and what the barriers were to people who really need the stability. I think everybody understands that there's an arc to this from a public health perspective, but it's also from an economic perspective. And I think people had a lot of questions, and there's been a lot of uncertainty just about, you know, how long are we going to be like this? So the governor has extended, as you all know, the state of emergency and the closure of non-essential businesses through May 4th, and that coincides with the closure of schools through May 4th. And we immediately started hearing from people. So what we decided to do was, I reached out immediately to our chambers of commerce and to our local business councils, and just extended the invitation really to visit with us via Zoom, like we're doing right now, and really to share what information we did have. So we do know that CARES Act got signed by the president, and they are working on the guidance and starting to funnel those monies to us through the Small Business Association, the SBA. But we wanted to make sure that we were hearing directly from people about how it was going. And part of that was just to hear, you know, the stories, right? Everybody has a slightly different story, or, you know, is in a different position. And, you know, what we're really talking about, you know, is local merchants and what their needs are. And it's both how we can come together to support each other and support them, but then also making sure that if there's resources available, is it reaching all the way down to our solo employers and 1099 and things like that. So the first call that we did was actually with the Hull Chamber of Commerce, and the next one is scheduled with Hingham, and then we'll do Cohasset and Scituate as well. And it went really well. And I think what was nice about it is that the chamber now is the focus of communications and supports and just community for both member and non-member businesses. And now when they schedule their call, Senator O'Connor and I will both, if we can't actually be on to ourselves and our staff, but one of us and our representatives will be there just to listen and to hear the themes and the threads and to think about what can we do at the state level, what can we do at the local level to make sure that we're trying to create the economic stability and supports first to get us through the period of the public health crisis of COVID-19, but then also to think ahead, right? That's the thing that we can do as state government is to look ahead to what does the economic recovery need to be? What could it be? And those conversations are starting on Beacon Hill right now. And so having these conversations is so incredibly timely to really try to help the folks in our district.
You know, you mentioned an interesting point about the chamber stepping up, really leading the conversation at the small business level. You know, when we look at Massachusetts, and particularly here in southeastern Massachusetts, we have a fairly rich history in various aspects of manufacturing. There is a growing sentiment in this country that when we emerge from this health crisis, and then kickstarting our economy, the sense is we want it made in America. We want it built in America. To the extent that we can mobilize our local industries here in Massachusetts, to the extent that we can mobilize some of our institutions, take for example, South Shore Vocational Technical, right, which I understand did a fantastic job stepping up using their 3D printers to manufacture shields for many of our healthcare workers on the front line. Does it make sense that that kind of capability continue to go forward, whether it's in partnership with the South Shore Vocational Technical Center, or do we have some of our local light industry step up and fill that gap? Because I believe, I sense that we're still going to need PPE in some form or fashion going forward so that we never have to revisit these types of stockpile shortages. What do you think about that?
I think it's a really interesting question. I agree that, and I know that people are starting to ask that very question on the state level, and they're starting to think about how to be more strategic. You know, in some ways, Massachusetts is really a hub for healthcare, right? When you think about the amazing hospitals and the universities that we have here, the pharmaceutical, organizations that do medical devices and things like that. So I think it's a natural fit for us. And I'm hopeful that we'll be able to make some economic investments that can make that a reality for people and to really incentivize some of the businesses you're talking about. One of the things that I think we'll see come from the federal government, you know, they're talking about this $2 trillion, I guess you would call it economic investments, but it's really, you know, it's going to be around infrastructure. I'm sure there'll be some around economic development and recovery, really. I guess we should talk about it, economic recovery. And I think that we'll see some dollars really flow into Massachusetts. And our federal delegation is, you know, Senator Markey, Senator Warren, Congressman Lynch, they are working really hard on these things right now. And so I actually think there will be some opportunity, and, you know, looking ahead like you're suggesting, I think it's going to be really important for us to, so that we avail ourselves of it. The other thing you were saying, though, that so you used South Shore Votech as the example, it has been really heartwarming to see how many of our local nonprofits have just stepped forward into the gaps. And when I think about things like, you know, delivering meals to kids, right, to seniors, and not just providing the meals, but delivering them. And it's the supports that have really come forward around, you know, wearing the face masks and some making them. And it's just been amazing to how creative people have been about the resources, how focused on community people are. And it doesn't have to be a big initiative. I mean, it can be as simple as, you know, neighborhoods just checking in on neighbors and seniors and making sure everything's okay, and a quick phone call for even just for socialization, and just making sure that we're not, you know, we're self-isolating. But community becomes really important now, and it's really been just lovely to watch how really tremendously caring and supportive all of our community is, and that's throughout our whole district. It's been really lovely to watch, so it's been nice.
Have you heard about this front porch project where photographers throughout our community are taking it upon themselves to go in their neighborhoods and invite families to sit on their front porch or their front steps and basically record, take a photograph? Have you heard anything about that?
No, I haven't, but I did see that Cohasset, through their Safe Harbors program, asked everybody to put on their favorite Cohasset sort of emblem, like a hat or a shirt or whatever it is, and to take pictures and send it in. I thought that was really super fun to see. I love initiatives like that. And I have to say, you know, the artist community has really been very creative about how to, you know, to share their both like painting and, but also music and art. It's just performance arts. That's been really terrific. And there's a lot of resources out there to both to enjoy that. And I hope people, I don't know if people do diaries or things like this, but I hope people also take time to really record their experiences, both positive and negative, about times like this. I mean, I think that's the thing everyone always looks back on is for historical content, or just, you know, for just part of anthropology, I suppose. But to think about, you know, what was different, what changed, and to really take note of it now, I think that is really always an interesting exercise to do. So
I noticed in Hingham, for example, some of the front doors will have a red heart on the front door, which I believe is a symbol of their appreciation for those in, you know, the healthcare industry. Perhaps there may be a family member who is in the healthcare industry, and so that's their way of showing their love and support.
Go ahead. I was gonna say, I've seen the red hearts throughout our district, and I just walked the beach this morning, and someone had drawn hearts in the sand along the way as well. So yeah, so that's actually throughout the whole district.
You talk about walking the beach. Has there been much grumbling about the closing of the parking lots for many of our state-managed parking areas around our beaches?
So actually, the grumblings I heard was to close the parking lots. One of the challenges with the Nantasket Beach Reservation is that all the parking lots are right front and center on the beach, which normally we love.
Yes.
But when the tide comes up, what was happening is it was pushing all of the people up onto the sidewalks, and they're narrow. And so on the one hand, it's great because you have this mile-long boardwalk that's well-maintained, easy to walk on. But there were a few warm, sunny days where there were just so many people, and it really became hard to social distance. Yeah. So I think the GCR was great, and they really tried everything they could do. But I think the governor was hearing from all of the metropolitan beaches, the state beaches, that it was becoming a really tough. So unfortunately, he did decide to close the parking, which was a shame. But you know, that always hurts the local businesses in Hull as well. But you know, in times like this, unfortunately, we just have to think about the public safety piece first and foremost. But that being said, I would strongly advise everybody to just somewhere along the line in their day, to get up from the desk and away from the computer and just to go out into the sunshine. And even if you're just taking a short walk in your neighborhood, gosh, what it does for the spirits and for our mental health state of mind and just a little sunshine is been really nice now that we're in spring and stuff. So yeah.
What else would you like to share with us in the remaining minutes that we have?
So I guess I would just like to remind everyone that, you know, the next several weeks are going to be very telling, and we've already had more than enough tragedies. But just remind everybody that, you know, we have it within ourselves to just be strong and to be resilient and to do our part to stay home to the best of our ability, to social distance, and to be very thoughtful and mindful of others when we're out. And of course, I say this when I know perfectly well in our district, I see it all the time. People have been terrific, and people are really trying to be part of the solution. And I just want to reiterate that we shouldn't get discouraged, even though we know that these next couple of weeks are going to be really tough. It's really going to be tough. And just remember that we just each individually need to do our part. And you know, our district's so wonderful. I mean, they're caring, they're giving, they donate, they contribute, they volunteer. So, you know, I'm not actually worried about us as much as others, but I just reiterate that we all each need to be part of the solution. The one thing I would also like to reiterate for folks is that the governor has posted on the mass.gov website a dedicated page to the COVID-19 state of emergency. And every order, every guidance is posted there and is regularly updated. And I just encourage people to check that out for whatever your particular reason for needing it, whether it's the registry of motor vehicles and how they are conducting business, whether it's the latest guidance on, you know, washing hands and keeping yourself healthy, or even just for businesses, you know, they regularly update who is an essential business. Yeah. And there's a form there if you need to apply to make your business essential. So to go to mass.gov for that as a central place where trusted resource. The other resource I'd remind people of too is that each town, and the town of Hingham has a wonderful website where they also regularly post updates, and you can actually sign up for announcements and updates to come to your email, and I would encourage people to do that as well. You know, it's important now that we're all isolating to stay informed, to stay abreast of good information and reliable information. And we are very blessed. The town of Hingham is incredibly well run, very well managed. They are handling the public health crisis amazingly well. And all of the resources are there. And of course you can contact your town administrator and your selectmen, and people are always welcome to contact my office for whatever reason. So I just wanted to make sure people know where to look for the trusted information.
State Representative Joe Moschino, thank you so much for visiting with us and sharing with us our first virtual update on our legislative district. Let's visit with each other again in a couple of weeks, okay?
Anytime. I'm always available to chat and to do an interview with you. And I just want to thank Harbor Media for also doing a great job keeping out there, staying on the forefront, and generating content for people who are stuck at home. And you guys do a great job, and it's always a pleasure to be in your company, even when it's virtual.
Even when it's virtual. Thank you again. And as they always like to say nowadays, stay safe and stay healthy.
Yes, please stay safe and stay healthy. My best wishes to you and to everyone's families.
And to you and yours as well.
Thanks.
Bye. Thank you.